Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes five times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We've got the Rusty Manziel in here with us
this morning. Man had smoke coming off his Skechers when he walked in.
On the heels of signing day.
I feel like 1991 senior trip the morning after.
How much would you pay for this coffee right now?
I would. I'm going to check my 401k this morning.
The GIF you posted yesterday of the guy pouring coffee all over himself was just perfect.
That was at like 5:20. So I'd woke up at like 4:30.
I was going to say real quick, give what your schedule was yesterday because it's crazy.
I will say this for my guys, and they're probably listening, Dogs HQ, we led the network yesterday in on three with signups. We led the network with content produced. My guys worked their ass off. I was extremely proud, but we were up from probably 4:30 in the morning, and I fell asleep last night around 11:10, and Georgia flipped a kid at 11:58. So they weren't done for the day, and
man,
I woke up at 5 this morning. I go, my alert on my phone was like, Georgia got another guy because their official Twitter. I was like, wait a minute, what? Yeah. What happened?
Yeah. What did happen? Like, give us the 30-second version of Georgia's signing day.
They held on to their class. They did not have a great, I would say, closing day. But I think if Georgia fans kind of knew what went on behind the scenes, they would be extremely happy because they didn't sign a bunch of 5-stars because they liked the dog walk. I'm just going to be straight. You don't get 5-stars anymore because your tutors are great.
They weren't worried about making sure their majors were good.
No, yeah. They didn't meet with academic counselors yesterday. And I'm just going to be straight. But Georgia did a very good job of holding on to kids that they really, really need. I think they had a really good class. They didn't finish great yesterday. But I think Georgia overall still has a chance to have a top 2 or 3 signing class.
I saw Jeff Sintel's piece yesterday that Georgia signed 21 Georgia kids, which is something I don't think Kirby's done in his time there so far.
Not even close.
Right.
And I'll tell you what the focus is. You want kids that want to play for the Georgia Bulldogs that grow up watching the Georgia Bulldogs. The thought process there is probably would not be so quick to go into the portal.
Yeah, I was going to say, you get rid of the freshman blues with some of these guys that want to stay closer to home and don't want to, I think that's a worry. I was kind of comparing it for people to Alabama. Alabama didn't sign a top 10 player in Alabama yesterday.
Crazy, man.
Crazy.
That is
seven
nuts.
Kids from California.
Well, you look at the makeup of that staff, and no question, they use their connections. Now, they're going to spend more time building those connections in the state of Alabama, guaranteed, but they weren't playing around. Their connections were in California, and they capitalized on that. Georgia's done that as well with times getting played. Brock Bowers from California, Kendall Milton from California, Darnell Washington's from Las Vegas. Yep. That doesn't mean you're not getting good players. It's just a little different philosophy.
Okay, Brent Key had put together the greatest signing class in Georgia Tech history from what I've read.
Yep.
How the hell did he do
that? What's the secret?
Well, they're waiting on. Well, they're not going to Georgia Tech about the academics right now.
There's been questions about the money backing there.
Georgia Tech is in. Let me tell you this. I'm not going to get Georgia Tech fans lighting me up. That is a degree that speaks for itself. And there's a lot of kids that go to Tech because of that. But they won some players yesterday that probably didn't have the academic center in their mind. And they're still waiting on, Josh Petty to sign. That's the one, the 5-star. I do think from everything that I have heard that he is going to sign, but he has a real agent, he has a real marketing team, and those are real contracts, and everything is going to be line by line going through. David Sanders, the number one offensive tackle in America, five minutes ago, he has not signed. I anticipate him signing with Tennessee. But I can tell you that contract is going to be what they agreed upon, and maybe Tennessee did everything and they tried to add something in. I don't know that. But those are 2 5-star linemen that did not sign yesterday. Very well could sign today.
That's I was going to say, the petty one, is that coming down to tomorrow? Who is the announcement tomorrow?
Tomorrow's Justice Terry.
There you go, Justice Terry. That's right. We said that
there's
earlier.
There's a window that these kids can sign, and tomorrow's the last day, and then it closes until February.
All right, cool.
And you'll get some sleep, a little bit of sleep then.
How many inbound text messages did you have yesterday, would you think? Just guesstimate.
Oh,
1,000?
Let me do this. I'm sitting at 470 unread text messages. So I don't really know. I don't really know.
Stress me out,
dude. I would
not
be able to handle that. This weekend.
If you don't open it, you don't know.
There you go.
So, you know what I mean?
Sorry, man. I didn't see it.
No.
This weekend, championship weekend.
Yeah.
You got a little game here?
Yeah, I just saw it when I pulled in the red light this morning. So I pulled in the station here at 7:05, and I sent it to red light. A guy comes out of the Starbucks, and he's got a Hook'em Texas sweatshirt on.
They're going to come in today.
They're going to start coming in today and tonight. You're going to start seeing Texas. It's the first time they've been here. I would imagine tonight you'll start seeing a lot of Texas fans around town.
Man, that's going to be a big one.
Yeah, how does Georgia pull it off again? I think Georgia go back and you look at the game and you kind of analyze it, and other than Carson Beck's interceptions, Georgia kind of dominated that football game.
Why is Texas favored right now?
I think the health of Georgia and what you've seen out of Georgia the last couple, just hot and cold, they still haven't played a clean game. They didn't play a clean game there, and they beat Texas by 2 touchdowns because they had 3 interceptions.
Yeah.
Georgia held Texas. Here's the stat, guys. Georgia had 7 sacks, 10 tackles for a loss. Texas had 27 rushes for 31 yards. Ooh. That's a dominating performance. And those two tackles are both highly projected NFL first rounders. If I've got anything to me and I'm that, I cannot wait to face Mykel Williams and Jalen Walker again to erase that tape.
Oh yeah,
because that's a grown man tape that you got beat up the first match.
To your point, I know that Kirby talked about Arch Manning yesterday and about his mobility and what he can do. They kind of put Arch in last time in kind of a bad situation.
Yep.
Kind of took him right back out. How much do you think Arch Manning plays a pivotal role in this? Because they do need to run the ball more efficiently. And they weren't able to do that last time against Georgia. And it sounds like Kirby kind of knows it's coming.
Dude, would you not?
I would.
I mean,
I've said it a dozen times on here.
Listen,
I would.
He's not Haynes King, but I don't think people realize how big Arch Manning is in person and what type of athlete he is.
There you go.
He's got an elite arm, but this dude is put together. He is a big dude in person. And if I'm Sark and the 2 turnovers I had in the red zone last week, I'm going to put it in the hands of Arch Manning and give him the RPO option. You know what I mean? Because here's what Georgia's been successful with, and Nick Saban did this for a long time, Mike, I think you'll agree. If you know where that quarterback is, you're in trouble. And Georgia did not worry about Quinn Ewers beating them with his legs.
Yeah.
You got to add that element.
There's no doubt about that. And I said the same thing the other day. I was like, you know, Bama, I don't know if Bama should be in or not.
Yeah.
But Bama is just historically, when you look at Kirby and all these defenses, I'm like, how can Bama get a pro-style quarterback in the playoffs? That's what the next thing is. And that's the same thing I think that Kirby and those guys were able to tee off on when they went against
Show me the spot and we'll get there.
Exactly.
Show me the spot.
It's just crazy.
Do you have a problem with the rankings? Do you have a problem with Miami being out? Because it looks like SMU loses, they might still be in, but Miami is ba-ba.
Miami's cooked. You're not going to hurt my feelings either way.
I think Miami had every opportunity to handle that. And what were they up, 20-0?
21-0.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were up 20.
They
were up 20. By the way, we're going to have Fran Brown on the show next week on the State Council, early plug.
Well, his interview, holy smokes, afterwards.
I talked to him last night a little bit just on text setting this up, and – Fran Brown's a huge Georgia guy. He's a huge Kirby Smart guy. You know what I mean? I asked him about Dabo. The comments Dabo said, if they win the national championship, he's going to have Fran Brown in the parade.
He goes, oh, really?
Yeah. He said, which was great. And he said that he told Dabo, he said, man, I'm pulling for you, but I'm telling you right now, if you play Georgia, go Dawgs.
Hey, how ironic would it be, real quick, if Dabo and Clemson won a national title off the backs of Fran Brown and Kyle McCord, who is a what? Transfer portal player.
Yeah.
Which Dabo says, oh, no, we don't do that.
Yeah. Well,
he better have Kyle McCord's ass in that parade, too.
If Clemson wins the national championship, then South Carolina fans, it's going to be rough.
I want to pivot really quick away from Texas, Georgia, and talk a little bit more about signing day.
Mm-hmm.
How different is signing day now for you? You've covered it a long time. Signing day has completely changed from what it was when you started doing it. How different is signing day nowadays in terms of communicating with players from your perspective and from coaches' perspective?
Well, for 10, 12 years, I would build a 2 to 3 year relationship with the player and the parents.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, I needed the information at the end. And if we got it from them, we did, we didn't. I knew, just take for example, I knew everything that was going on with Reuben Foster from the start because I knew Reuben since he was a ninth grader. And it was a wild one.
The Auburn tattoo.
But I knew everything until the end, what was going on there.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence, I knew everything that was going on to the end. In all these guys. Now, unfortunately, you basically have to talk to an agent to kind of know what's going on.
I was going to ask, I feel like you need more caffeine this morning.
Yeah,
I feel like you've been put through the ringer yesterday.
It was really hard to cover because, you know, you don't reach out to the kid on signing day. I know he's getting killed. Who are the people around him that are making the decisions? For example, I'm covering Osmani Kroma, the running back at Lee County. I'm covering Jeremiah McLeod at Lee County.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I remember that. Yep.
Yeah. So I know Dean Fabrizio for 12 years, the head coach, and I have a great relationship with him. I called him yesterday morning. He goes, Rusty, don't have one clue what's going on.
Wow.
Well, that's
one clue. I am preparing us to play in the biggest playoff game we've played in a long time against Milton, and I don't know what those two kids are going to do, but at 2:00, we're all going to find out.
That's kind of my question. Was it a record number of flips yesterday? Because your guy Hayes Fawcett.
Yeah.
I actually went and followed him yesterday because Florida went on a Billy Napier went on a tear the last month and a half of the season getting recruits, but I don't remember ever seeing that many flips. And Hayes Fawcett had every single one. Credit to him.
He's got ones that were not used. You know why they weren't used? Because the school that you were committed to stepped up their contract.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there. So, hey, I'm a proud dad moment. I'm the one that kind of put Hayes on.
Yeah.
I called him one day. I said, who are you? What's going on? I called Shannon Terry. I was like, Shannon, this kid's something now. He goes, who is Hayes Fawcett? So he watched him for about 3 days, and he called me back. And he goes, get me on the phone with this guy.
Yes. I love that.
And
man,
I will say this, that Hayes has been very, very thankful. He sends me texts all the time. But he absolutely has the trust of every top football player in America. He breaks everything.
He's like Rappaport.
Well, the funny thing is, real quick, I know we got to go. I thought he was one of those. I thought he was like that Dove Kleiman guy. That's like a fake.
No,
but I saw you retweet him one day, and I go, well, maybe this guy has some. You know, maybe he's credible.
Let me tell you something. He had no idea what he was sitting on. I said, Hayes, we need to talk. And I had some long talks. He didn't know who Shannon Terry was.
That winning lottery
ticket. Just tell him, make sure he kicks up his 10%.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. He is getting paid well.
Rusty, always good to have you in studio with us.
I need coffee.
And you know what?
I got to say one thing before I go, because I'm confident in this.
Is it?
It's not you. Okay, it's not your hostage picture. We'll talk about that later.
He always takes
shots at me. I am confident that Bo's theme song was not I Crush a Lot.
No.
I am confident in
that. We are all sure of that, Rusty.
Well, I had to say something, Rusty.
I am confident in that.
You can follow Rusty on X @RustyManziel. Rusty, thanks for joining us this morning.